after I told you that juicy bit of information that nobody else in Tape Land gets to hear, turn to Proverbs 4 and verse 12. See, I want to make them feel bad. So, Proverbs 4 and verse 12. Don't tell them what it was either if somebody asks you. Proverbs 4 and verse 12. If I can ever get there, I'll read it. He says, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." First part of the verse there. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. So here is the result of being taught in the way of wisdom by precept and example. Right, that's what we just read there in Proverbs 4:11, that he had taught him in the way of wisdom, he'd led him in right paths, and of listening and receiving it. And that was the verse before that, verse 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." So here we see the result of it. The result of it is, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. So if you hear and pay attention, and then you follow that example, here's what's going to happen. So when it's time for the child to start his life's journey, in Solomon's son's case, he will not have a difficult road ahead of him. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. Remember what it said there in Proverbs 22:6, which we read here just a minute ago. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, right? So he's not going to have a straight, in the sense of straight, he's not going to have a straightened path, which is different than GHT. Think of straight like a straight jacket, constricted, right? Where straight with the GHT is when you're walking in a straight line. Straight the other way is whenever you're walking in such close quarters that you can't hardly keep from rubbing your shoulders and scratching yourself up. He will not be limited and constricted by foolish decisions that he made in the past. Straitened means contracted, narrowed, insufficiently spacious. Straitened circumstances, that phrase, means inadequate means of living, poverty. Also straitened income or straitened means. So whenever you're in a straitened condition, it's contracted, it's narrow, it's insufficient, right? It's you just feel like you're claustrophobic. You don't have enough room to move around. And that can be in any number of circumstances, but one of which here is in the means of living. Like if you're in poverty, you're straitened. You don't have liberty, right? If you're in poverty and you're in excessive debt, you can't do what you want to do, right? You are locked down, the borrower is servant to the lender. And if you need to move, you can't, right? Because you've got too much debt. You can't, you know, get rid of that house or whatever. If you need, you know, if you need, your car breaks down, you're screwed because you're, you know, stretched out to the max. You're straitened, right? A good example of this was the prodigal son. His steps were straightened by foolish decisions that he made, which restricted him greatly. Look at Luke chapter 15, Luke 15, 11 through 16. And we're all familiar with this story, this account. It's not a parable, I don't believe. Actually, it is a parable. No, it's not a parable. Yes, it is. It is a parable. It is a parable. You're right. Some of these are not, and I was thinking this is one of them. Yes, it is a parable. But this is one of those parables which could have... No, actually, it's not a parable. Verse 11, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." See, the parable was the previous one, the 90 and 9 going after it, and the woman losing the coin. Those were the parables that he mentioned there in verse 3 when he says he spoke a parable unto them. Verse 11, then, there's a break from the parable, and then he said, "A certain man had two sons." And this is not using parabolic language. A certain man... Right, he's telling a story now in great detail, which is typically not the case with a parable. So anyway, and anybody that's read this story can clearly imagine it happening and probably knows somebody that something kind of like this happened to, right? That it's not something, you know, totally out of the ordinary. But anyway, there in verse 11 through 16, it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And that, my friends, is why you want to have a rainy day fund. That's why we don't want to live paycheck to paycheck. It's not just enough if you have enough to pay your bills this month. There might be a famine arises in the land, and you need to have extra laid up. This is what I've tried to tell people for years. Anyway, and isn't this interesting here how the Lord worked this out? Where when he goes to the land, there's not a famine. He blows all of his money like a drunken sailor. And then as soon as that happens, then a mighty famine arises. And he began to be in want. And remember, want means need or lack in 1611 English. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. See, this is before the days of welfare and unemployment benefits and Social Security and Medicare and all this other stuff. When he got poor, there was nobody to rely on. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. In other words, he became a slave, basically, to this guy because he had nothing. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Not exactly a prestigious job. That's what happens whenever you haven't lived wisely. You'll end up doing things that you would not have wanted to do otherwise. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Let me tell you what, you are pretty hungry when you're ready to eat the husks that the pigs are eating. You ever saw a slop that pigs eat? You ever been to a pig farm or anything? I mean, it's nasty. Those things eat some terrible stuff. And he was so hungry he could have eaten that. And then it goes on to say he came to himself and he realizes, hey, my dad's got better hired servants and in better shape than this. I'll just go back and be a servant. I won't even be considered his son anymore. I'll just go back and be a servant. And that's what he did. And we all know the rest of the story. But the point was, this kid's foolish decisions put him in a straitened condition. I mean, that's a straitened condition right there, if there ever was one. That's why we want to pay attention to wisdom and put it into effect in our lives. Listen to it, receive it, follow it. Because when we go, our steps shall not be straightened, like that young man's was. The man that has been well instructed and has received it with meekness will be able to walk in freedom and prosperity within the bounds of God's law. Right? And that's the freedom of Christ there when it talks about that Christ hath given us liberty. It's not liberty to do whatever we want. It's liberty to exercise our will within the boundaries and the framework of the Word of God, right? It's freedom to worship Him and to live our lives to the fullest, making wise decisions. And that's, and financial freedom is so important. I know I harp on this a lot, but it's so important because it gives you a sense of freedom. When you're in debt and when you're, you know, when you don't have anything laid up and you don't know what's going to happen if something bad happens, you're just waiting for that sword to drop. It's a miserable condition to be in. But when you're free and you're debt free and you realize, wow, if I had to move, I could move. If my car blows up tomorrow, I'm okay, right? If I get sick and I have a multi-$1,000 bill, I'm okay. If my roof starts leaking, I'm all right. If my HVAC blows up, I'm okay. Right? That's a liberating feeling. Right? But on the other hand, if you're just like, fingers crossed, I'm just hoping nothing happens because I'm screwed if it does, that is a straitened condition. And I don't want anybody to be in that situation. And that's why over the years I've harped so much on my little soapbox that I keep harping on. So the man that does this will not be limited by the consequences of foolish decisions. It's not just financial, there's other stuff too. I'll mention some of that when I get right here to the end. And then Solomon says, he continues there in Proverbs 4:12, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. So not only will the young man be able to walk freely and unhindered, he'll also be able to run. Like, he's really going to be able to get out there and stretch his legs and live life to the fullest if he receives and puts into practice the word of God and acts wisely. He will be able to see clearly to avoid potholes or rocks in the road that would cause him to stumble. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Because remember what the word of God is? It says it's a lamp to our path, right? Jesus is the light of life, right? When you have Jesus, when you have the word of God, you have light and you are not going to stumble because you're able to see the rocks and the potholes and the pitfalls, right? And you're not going to step in them. You're going to go around them. You're going to watch all your dumb friends fall into them because they don't have the light. They're not paying attention. They don't have wisdom because they don't have the word of God. Don't read it and don't pay attention. They don't go to church and hear it preached every week. To stumble means to miss one's footing, to trip over an obstacle in walking or running so as to fall or be in danger of falling. Figuratively, in various uses, it's to trip morally, kind of like the prodigal son did. He tripped morally. He was out there running, all right, you know, running from red light district to red light district or whatever he was doing, what it sounded like he was doing. Said he wasted his substance with riotous living, and you read in the Proverbs about he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. So you kind of put those things together and you pretty well figure out what he was doing. To trip morally, to make a slip in speech or action, to blunder through inadvertence or unpreparedness. That's what it is to stumble. So if you're not prepared, right, you haven't thought through what you're thinking of doing, or you haven't considered what the possible pitfalls might be on the road. This young man will be able to run the race that is set before him and not fall into sin. Look at 1 Corinthians. This will be the last verse for tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27. Austin, I want you to do me a favor. When Braden grows up, I want you to teach him this stuff that I've been teaching you in this Proverbs study. Because Braden's he's too young right now. He's not. It's just right over his head. He might get a word here or there, but this is not significant to him. But it is vitally important for him to grow up to be a young, godly, wise man. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." This has a particularly special application here to a pastor, because he's saying here that Paul specifically kept under his body and brought it into subjection, because if Paul would not have, and if he would have fallen into sin, he would have been a castaway minister, a minister that is just cast off to the side and is no longer useful and profitable. That's what happens to a pastor. A church member can get kicked out of the church, get excluded, and get brought back in. So can a pastor, but he can't get brought back into his office. He's a castaway. And that's why it's so important for pastors to keep their nose clean. But he says there that he's running a race, and we ought to run that we may obtain. We ought to strive for the mastery, be temperate. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, not in unpreparedness," as the definition of stumble tells us, right? He wasn't uncertain. He was prepared. He knew where he was running. He knew where the finish line was. He knew what the end goal was, and he was keeping his eyes fixed on that. "A fool who trips and breaks his leg in his youth, figuratively speaking, because of foolish decisions, is going to have a hard time running the remainder of the race without falling behind." You think about that. You think about it, you're in a race, and you fall and break your leg. Are you going to win that race? Not a chance. Not a chance. You can get up, and you can hobble, and you can try hard as try your best and get those crutches out. You're not going to win. You're going to be behind. Maybe you can come back next year and try, but guess what? Those other guys have had another year to train, and you've got a leg that still hurts a little bit every time you put weight on it. You're not going to win. You may make it to the end, but you're not going to win. This is why it's so important for young people to hear things like this and to make wise decisions. Because the young man that gets himself in debt is not going to win the race. Think about the average kid. He gets out of high school, or maybe even before that, but basically he turns 18, and he goes and he buys himself a new car. I shouldn't say buy. He rents a new car from the bank, right? That's what it is, unless you actually paid cash for it. You didn't buy it, you rented it. So he rents a car from the bank, and then he making all those payments to the bank instead of himself, and then whenever he's done with that in a year or two, then it's time to rent another one from the bank because he never saved anything. And then he starts renting a house from the bank as soon as he possibly can with like no money down. And then to fill the house up, he rents furniture from the bank, and he rents his clothes from the bank on the credit card, right? And he rents all of his TVs and his iPods and his cell phones. He rents everything from the bank, and he's a debt slave for the rest of his life. That's what the average kid. I'm sorry?
His education.
And he rents his education from the bank too. And that's the one thing that he can't even declare bankruptcy to get rid of the debt. Right now, anyway. You can't get rid of that. So yeah, he is a perpetual debt slave. He's never been taught. Nobody ever told him otherwise. He's hindered from the very get-go. Or he gets his girlfriend pregnant. You talk about breaking your leg on the first lap of the race. You just screwed yourself. I mean, your life is going to be permanently messed up. Now, that's not to say that it might not turn out somewhat okay and you do the best you can and maybe you actually get married and stay married, but chances are probably won't. Or you get a DUI, or you get addicted to drugs or alcohol, or maybe you just foster a bad habit. You just get this bad habit going as a kid. Your parents never broke you of it, and you go into life with a bad attitude. Or habit, for that matter. But you get this bad attitude. Your parents never beat it out of you, and you start off your life with a bad attitude, and you just broke your leg on the first lap of the race. And your boss isn't going to have any of that. He's going to fire you. People are going to be irritated with you, and you're never going to get off to a good start. You're not going to finish that race. So that's why it's so important to hearken unto wisdom, teach it to your children so that they can run that race before them, and that when they run, when they go, their steps won't be straightened, and when they run, they won't stumble. And that takes care of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 12.